You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. My name is Cameron Stutters, and it's a joy and a privilege to be here and just bring a good, solid message this morning and celebrate with you as we look into a new year. Well, I might know many of you, and for some of you, I might be new, so I just wanted to introduce myself. My name's Cameron, as I mentioned, and a number of years ago, I was obviously on staff here for those that I know. And for those that I don't know, it's nice to meet you. And so my wife and I are in a season of what I call multivocation. Multivocation. Because in Scripture, we're called to a few things. First and foremost, just to simply be image bearers of God. And just rest in that identity. We're called to work, to create and cultivate. We're called to love God and love our neighbor. And we're called to make disciples of Jesus as we go. So in this season of life, I'm working full-time with my family business, and we're raising a family, and we're active in our neighborhood, and we are following Jesus and being a light and just hoping to lead a small little community called Lighthouse Communities as we go. So it is good to be here with you today. Well, I surveyed some news headlines leading into 2022. In mid-December, I kind of just did a little Google search for some news headlines, and USA Today said this. It said, 2020 was awful. 2021 was not better. What is lurking in 2022? Ouch. The Economist. It says, the world ahead in 2022, China will revel in democracy's failings. Again, doesn't sound great. And alas, for Canadian sports teams, the news is not any better. According to Sportsnet, for Canadian sports teams, no Canadian team is predicted to win really any championship this year. So, MCA Church. Ask you a personal question. How are you feeling about 2022? Feeling excited? Optimistic? Probably not. Maybe a little bit nervous. Maybe a little bit worried. Maybe anxious. You know, the world that we're living in is in such turbulent times. COVID is not going away. Inflation is on the rise, cost of living is increasing, there's a lot of bad things in the news, natural disasters, hard things happening in the world these days, division, fragmentation of society. It's easy to get caught up into this worry and disillusionment. And while 2,000 years ago, the disciples of Jesus found themselves in a similar scenario where all hope seemed lost, and the world seemed upside down. So we're going to turn to a teaching text this morning in the Gospel of John. So if you've got your Bible or your phone, you can open it up. And let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And we're going to look at a text this morning. In chapter 20, verse 19, and I'll read it out for you. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not
forgiven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just commit this time to you. We thank you that we can gather as your church and be a worshiping community. We thank you for technology, that people can tune in wherever they are and listen and participate and be encouraged by your word. So I pray that my words become your words this morning and that your spirit would move in our midst to stir in our hearts, to convict us, to lead us into your truth, and to help us take steps of obedience as we seek to follow you this morning, Jesus. So may your spirit come, and may your will be done. Amen. Well, let's dig into this text this morning, and let's jump right in. Let's look at the first part of verse 19. It says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders." You see, in the context of the Gospel of John, if you're not familiar, at this point in this unfolding story in the Gospel of John, Jesus has just been crucified. And the disciples of Jesus had just spent 3 amazing years of their life with Jesus, learning about the Heavenly Father, learning about the kingdom of God, seeing Jesus do the miraculous in their midst. And now, their leader was dead. And in those disciples' minds and hearts, their world was upside down. The disciples were confused. The disciples were anxious. "Where do we go from here?" I imagine they were thinking. The disciples were afraid. They locked the door. They didn't want to be found. They were very afraid. And in the middle of this storm of emotions, much like we're feeling today in the 2020s, Jesus comes to be with his disciples. Let's look back at the text. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." In Jesus' first appearance, in his bodily resurrection, Jesus chooses to be with his people. Jesus appears unannounced, unexpected, and dwells with his disciples. Jesus comes to his people who are filled with grief and failure and just feeling this mix of emotions and brings peace. And Jesus makes this fearful people into an unstoppable missional church. The big idea I want to get at this morning is really this, is that Jesus turns our fear into joy. I love transformation stories. I love watching HGTV, right? I love seeing a good house renovation where you see this before picture and an after picture, or I just love seeing that transformation journey and seeing things change. We see this before and after picture in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The disciples were immobilized. They were fearful. And then after Jesus, they're set on fire with the Holy Spirit to move and to change the world around them. Before, fear. After, joy. Joy. Jesus comes to them and says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." The word here for peace is the word shalom. Shalom. Maybe you've heard this word before. It's an Old Testament term. It means this deep sense of rootedness, of right relationship, that all is as it should be, and all is connected to God, who is the giver of life. Jesus bestows the blessing of peace, of love, of forgiveness. Friends here today, friends online, can I invite you into what is the gospel opportunity of 2022? The gospel window of 2022 is fearful people experiencing Jesus and receiving joy. Joy. Well, a few years back, I had a case where I was having some physical health problems, and I became very, very dizzy. And so I'd wake up in the morning and was dizzy, and I wasn't quite sure what was going on. It wasn't very serious, so I could kind of make it through my day. As a typical husband, I needed the convincing of my wife that I should probably go to the doctor and get checked out, make sure everything was okay. So I went to the doctor and kind of explained my symptoms and explained what was going on, and the doctor checked me out, and he says, "Oh, it's nothing too serious. I think you've just got a case of vertigo." I said, "Oh, okay, vertigo. That would explain why I've been feeling dizzy and off." And the doctor asked, how does that happen, you know? And the doctor says, "Well, we don't really know, but something in your ear has become discombobulated." I thought, "Wow, that sounds very scientific. Okay, sounds good, I guess. I don't know." But that word stuck with me, so the doctor said, just go home, rest up, and after a few days, you should be better, and if not, come on back. So I went home, and the first thing I did was just look up, what does discombobulated mean? I didn't quite know what that word meant. But discombobulated is an interesting word. It means to confuse or disorder, to upset, to frustrate. Church, the world around us is discombobulated. It's very discombobulated. It is very fragmented. It is very confused. The world around us is very upset. It's very frustrated. If you watch the news, you'll see the political agendas, you'll see the division, strife, competing ideologies. When you talk to people today, you just see relational breakdown, you see fragmenting of families. If you look closely, you just see society just kind of crumbling before us. More than ever, church, we need a fresh encounter with Jesus. More than ever, the world around us needs the joy of the Lord that we were singing about this morning. So before and after, before, these early disciples who are fearful, afraid. After, they experience the risen Jesus, and they begin with the power of the Holy Spirit to transform half of the Roman Empire by 300 AD. An amazing before and after story. Amazing. So I want to speak for a few minutes just to the Jesus followers today. Just the Jesus followers. A little aside here. Are you full of the joy of the Lord these days, as we're singing about this morning? Maybe, maybe not. And what is maybe holding you down from experiencing the joy of the Lord these days? Let me offer just a few kind of observations. For us as the church, it's been very easy to simply just give up on gathering as the church and gathering as a worshiping community. So I commend you guys who are here today and commend you who are tuning in online. But as we go, if we do not gather with a worshiping community, that passion within us slowly fizzles out. We need to be ignited with the Spirit. We need to be ignited as we worship and sing praise to our King. The last few years, they've been hard financially for many people. You know, in those times, it is easy to just simply say, I just can't be generous. Just can't right now. Church, this is who we are. We're a generous people because we belong to a generous God who has all resources. Let's be generous even when times are tough. Generous with our time, generous with our money. It is better to give than to receive. And you know, with these restrictions in place, it's been very easy to simply avoid people, hasn't it? I don't have to go talk to neighbors. I can avoid people I don't like. Church, our calling is to love God and to love others. And as we step into that more and more, you will experience the joy of the Lord. With much bad news in the media and the news, it is easy to forget that we have a good Heavenly Father, a Father who loves us, who cares about his kids, who wants to spend time with you. Don't miss those opportunities. Church, it's time for a reset as we hit 2022. Invite the risen Jesus to calm your fears. Confess if you've been overwhelmed. Confess if you've been overloaded in life these days. Turn away from the things that don't satisfy and turn to Jesus and his beautiful presence, which brings us peace in the midst of the trials and storms of life. Jesus turns our fear into joy as we receive him. Now, I want to add a bit of a disclaimer. It could be easy to just think that Jesus is a big teddy bear and we're going to get a hug and then everything's okay and everything is fixed in life and everything's better. The fine print about these verses. There is some fine print. To properly understand these verses, we need to just zoom out a little bit and look at a theme in the Gospel of John that kind of transcends the Gospel of John. It begins in John chapter 1, the eternal God being made into flesh. It begins with John being sent to prepare the way for Jesus. It begins in John 1 with Jesus, the living God, just moving in and being sent into the neighborhood, being sent into humanity to live among us. It continues in John chapter 3 in the famous verses, "For God so loved the world, so the Heavenly Father sends the Son on a mission." And we see it bookended here in John 20, this theme of being sent, this theme of being sent. So let's look again at our verses. Let's look at Jesus after he gives peace to his disciples. Verse 21 says, again, Jesus says, "Peace be with you," the second time. "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Big idea number two this morning. Mission is who you are. Mission is who you are. Essential to the joy and peace of Christ that we have available to us is stepping into our missional identity. Jesus comes to his disciples and says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Since the early disciples, we continue in this lineage of being sent. Sentness is within our identity. It is who we are. The Father has sent the Son. The Father and Son send the Holy Spirit, and the triune God sends us, the church, to be the light and agent of transformation in the world today. Church, we step into God's mission to make things new, to participate with God in the new creation, to bring peace to a fragmented world around us, to see broken people made whole. Well, Ross Hastings is a pastor and a theologian, and I read some of his books for Ordination Process with the Alliance, and one of the books that really stood out to me was Missional Church, Missional God. And much of his book is the inspiration for the sermon this morning, but there's really one kind of key kind of thing that really stands out to me still to this day, is that really who we are in Christ and our vocation in Christ can be kind of summarized in three things, and Ross would describe them as three kind of circles that kind of overlap each other like a bullseye target. So Ross would say that first, there is the cultural mandate. We see this in Genesis 1 and 2, that first and foremost, we are image bearers. We are just image bearers. We are made in God's image. We have value simply by who we are as God's creation. And from there, we're given a work, we're given tasks, we're given responsibility. And then the next circle is the great commandment that we see in Scripture to love God and love our neighbor. And then the outside circle that captures all those things is these verses in John 20. As Christ followers, we're sent out to bring shalom. We bring peace wherever we go. And so like a bullseye target, these three circles, they capture our sentness and the elements of that. And so we cannot talk about making disciples until we talk about what it is to love God and love our neighbor. And we can't talk about loving our neighbor until we first and foremost recognize that we are just simply image bearers reflecting God's goodness and light as God transforms us. And so as we participate in these things, being image bearers, loving God, loving our neighbor, bringing peace, we participate in God's mission to make all things new. Not by what we do, but simply by who we are. Well, church, this past fall, I was catching up with a friend, and my friend is a first responder, and he has been a first responder for the last 10 years. And I love this friend because he believes and is very true that, you know, that's his missional calling. He is a first responder, and he just simply gets to be Jesus in that work environment. And so all along, my friend has just wanted to be a light in the workplace, and he's been doing that faithfully for 10 years. So I was catching up with him this fall and just asking, hey, how are things going and what's new? And he said, Cam, something amazing this last year. He said, this last year, I have had more opportunities to be a witness than I have had in the last 10 years combined. In the last 10 years. Just simply by living out a faithful Christian life in the workplace, in a difficult work environment that's very stressful, people are noticing over time that something is different. Especially with the last year, where things are upside down and chaotic, my friend has had even more opportunities to be a gospel witness in that workplace. Church, this is our calling, to live faithfully to Jesus and have those opportunities as they come. You see, the world is fragmented around us. Life in 2022 is hard, and so Jesus gives us his peace and sends us out to be agents of shalom. This is the gospel opportunity of 2022, to bring peace and wholeness to a fragmented world around us. More than ever, people need this peace. Let's return to our text this morning. Verse 22. And with that, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Well, in the very beginning, when God created us, Scripture says that he breathed his breath into us and we came alive. He sustains us by his breath in creation. And here in new creation, Jesus is again foreshadowing the Holy Spirit who will come and make us alive so that God will dwell in us and with us. In John 20, the very presence of God, the Holy Spirit, is given to go with us and in us to be agents of shalom, to turn the world right side up again. And so, MCA Church, this is what I don't want you to miss this morning, is that God is sending you. God is sending you to your workplace, to your neighborhood, to the university campus, to the college, to the schools, to the places where you do business. God is sending you to be the little Christ in the world. By the Father's love through Christ, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be agents of shalom, to be agents of healing and wholeness and forgiveness and peace in the world. This is who we are, shalom dispensers. The church is sent. And as we embrace this, we find that God has an amazing role for us in his kingdom, an amazing role for living out a faithful Christian life. So practically speaking, how do we do this? How can we get started? First, I simply want to encourage you to pray. Pray. Ask God to direct you. Ask God to empower you. Church, each one of you are uniquely gifted. God has given each one of you a passion. For some of you, that passion is burning and alive, and you know what God wants you to do. But for others, that passion might not be so clear, or it might be a little bit dormant. So ask God to ignite that passion within you again. God gives us the ability to do whatever he is calling us to do. I mentioned earlier the gospel opportunity that I see in 2022, and that's the fragmentation of society and the fragmentation of relationships. We can be agents of peace and healing in the world around us. So first of all, church, let's commit to pray. Second, know the area of influence that God is giving you. Some of you speak well. You can speak out for kingdom opportunities. Some of you are in business. Use those opportunities for kingdom opportunities. Others of you are good listeners. Connect with people. Hear their story. Hear how they are really doing. Some of you are grandparents. This is an amazing opportunity to influence another generation. Pray, be faithful, invest. Let your light shine. Be engaged in your community. Participate in things where people are doing good. Get involved with care for the environment, social causes. Work for reconciliation as a faithful Jesus follower, and God will use you as a conduit for his love and grace. As we close today, a final word. Don't get your hopes up for 2022. Instead, church, let's put our hope in Jesus. Let's find our hope in God's story. Let's find our hope in a God who is going to make all things new. We are caught up into that story as the church, and it's an unfolding drama, but we know where it is going as the church. Our hope is found in the triune God who takes away our fears and gives us peace and joy for the journey ahead. Church, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your good love. Jesus, thank you for your work on the cross to set us free, to forgive our sins. Holy Spirit, thank you for empowering us and dwelling in us and making us your church and your people. God, I pray that you would come and ignite your people in this church, in the churches of Kelowna, across our nation, across our world, to live out and be the church. May we be a sign of your goodness. May we offer people a taste of the peace that you bring. May we point people to the resurrected King who goes with us and dwells among us. And so, Lord, we commit this next year to you. We ask for opportunity to be a faithful witness, for gospel opportunities, Lord. And we pray that you would give us your peace as we go. In your name, amen.